From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
Private equity is not a well-understood phenomenon, but federal prosecutor Brendan Belew views it as a threat to the economic stability of the country. His recent expose, Plunder, Private Equity's Plan to Pillage America, was published in May, and his recent New York Times op-ed shines more light on the issue. Welcome to Craft, Brendan Belew.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell me about the business model of private equity.
It's a great question, and I should give my standard disclaimer that I'm speaking personally and not necessarily on behalf of the Justice Department. So what is private equity? Private equity is a term that I think we've all heard, but if we're honest, a lot of us don't actually understand. But the business model is very simple. Private equity firms use a little bit of their own money, some investor money, and a whole lot of borrowed money to buy companies. They then try to enact sort of financial or operational changes with the aim of selling them for a profit a few years later.
Okay. So they don't hold on to it, and they're not really taking much of a risk with any of their own collateral or assets.
I think you've hit the nail on the head, which is private equity firms use a lot of borrowed money to buy companies, but it's debt that the company, not the private equity firm, has to pay.
So that puts all of the burden on the company that's being purchased and not on the equity company itself.
That's exactly right. And I should be fair, private equity firms do put up a little bit of their own money and some investor money, but generally the acquisition is mostly financed through debt that the company is going to have to pay.
And that's, forgive me, I'm not an economist here. That's generally referred to as like a leveraged buyout.
I'm not an economist either, but that's exactly right.
Okay. So this has been something that I've heard about for a long time. It seems like it first came to my attention back in the 80s with the greed is good sort of stuff with, what is it, Gecko in that movie with yep. Michael Douglas and all that. So that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about. Are private equity firms generally destroying other firms for profit? Is that a fair assessment?
I hesitate to say the word generally, but there are three basic problems with the private equity business model. One is that private equity firms generally buy companies and hold them for just a few years, so they have a short-term perspective. Second, as we just touched on, they tend to load companies up with a lot of debt, and they also extract a lot of fees. And then the third is that they tend to be insulated from liability for the consequences of their actions or the actions of their portfolio companies. And those three flaws tend to mean that private equity firms often have very bad consequences across a lot of different industries.
Mm-hmm. Because they're really out not to make anything better necessarily, but to inflate the bottom line of a country's companies, saddle it with debt and get out. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, and it's not a statement about the people that run private equity firms or anything like that. You know, anybody that's running a company or a firm, you know, wants to make money. What makes private equity firms often unique is that short-term perspective and the fact that if and when things go wrong, usually the private equity firm isn't held responsible.
Okay. So forgive me for the seeming cynicism of my questions. having, you know, started to read the book, it's a very depressing, enlightening, but, you know, for somebody who wants to see the good in the world, it may be a little bit depressing for me. And I don't know how have you dealt with that when you see companies coming in and taking over and the companies they take over are often, you know, destroyed by the end of it, at least the firms that you're mentioning?
Well, it was a rewarding, also very aggravating process researching the book, and my friends have had to listen to a lot of my monologues. I will say, you know, I also don't want to make people feel hopeless or, you know, despair about sort of the state of how our economy works today. In fact, there are a lot of positive things that we can do to fix the flaws in the private equity business model, just as we've fixed the flaws in other business models that we've had in the past. So I don't think all hope is lost here.
What do you think made these arise and to perhaps exploit some conditions that previously existed and currently exist that made these sorts of things possible?
It's a great question. I think private equity firms really took off in the 1980s, in part because of changes in our laws around pension funds that allowed pension funds to invest in sort of new and more exotic products. There was also lowering the capital gains rate, which incentivized sort of more financial investment in the economy, as well as various times of sustained low interest rates by the Federal Reserve. And what that meant is all that meant was that there was a lot of money sort of floating around to either buy up companies or to borrow money to do so. I also think that there's an issue of not what changed, but what didn't change, which is we have laws that generally insulate investors from liability for the companies they invest in. And that generally makes sense. But with private equity firms, they're not just ordinary investors. They often can control the operations of the companies they buy. And yet they're generally afforded the same insulation from liability that ordinary investors like you or I have. So I think it's a combination of sort of how much money was floating out there and for investment, plus sort of advantages in the laws that private equity firms were able to use.
Right. So let's take a specific example for the moment. You say that Sun Capital bought Marsh Supermarkets that did have some supermarkets in Ohio in 2006. They then did this sort of seemingly standard practice of selling the properties the stores stood on and then pushed that supermarket chain into bankruptcy. And some of this was to avoid having to pay employee pensions. Is that a fair assessment of the situation?
I think that's a pretty fair assessment of what happened. Sun Capital bought up Marsh, as you mentioned, required Marsh to sell its properties and then lease them back, which, you know, gave Marsh and Sun Capital a quick sort of hit of cash, but it meant that Marsh now had to pay leases on properties that it used to own, which can be very tough for a retailer. Sun Capital also extracted money through, you know, various transaction and management fees that, you know, sort of took money from Marsh, the operational company, and gave it to Sun Capital, the private equity firm. And then ultimately, as you said, Marsh was forced into bankruptcy because of these actions.
How frequently are companies forced into bankruptcy after they're purchased by private equity versus perhaps those not purchased by private equity? I don't know if that's a fair comparison, but it seems like on the face of it, it should be.
It's a great question. There's one academic study out there that says private equity owned businesses are about 10 times as likely to go bankrupt as comparable non-private equity owned businesses.
So that suggests that there's a pretty strong case, at least based on that study, and perhaps others may be warranted, to look at ways of reining in the ways that private equity functions. Are there ways that you see that that can be done?
Yeah, and to, you know, private equity's defenders would say, look, we're just buying up riskier companies. And so, you know, it's no wonder that, you know, a disproportionate number fail. You know, the challenge is, you know, sort of we've discussed or, you know, has been written about, private equity firms can also often use the bankruptcy process to their advantage to, for instance, push off pension obligations for employees and retirees onto a quasi-government agency called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. That's actually exactly what happened with Marsh Supermarkets. So there's a lot that we can do to make private equity work better, starting with, as I just mentioned, reforming the bankruptcy code. And helping litigants and judges in the bankruptcy system understand how sort of obscure tactics like what are called 363 sales and credit bidding are used sometimes to hurt workers and benefit investors. So there's things like that. There's also just general changes that we can make to our tax code, to our state corporate veil piercing laws, to our regulations around securities that can make private equity think for the longer term, that'll make them load companies up with less debt, and that'll make them ultimately responsible for their own actions.
Okay. What are some things that private citizens could do to assist in that kind of responsible lawmaking? Are there people they can contact? Has this been attempted? Is this something that is too Pollyanna of you in a situation like this?
No, there's a lot that people can do, and it's really important. So, you know, typically people have looked to Congress to act on these things, and there's things that Congress can do, but there are a lot of different levers that can be pulled to make private equity work better, whether it's at the Securities and Exchange Commission or the Department of Health and Human Services, the Federal Reserve or Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac at the federal level, to state and local regulators, state and local governments, and state attorneys general. There's a whole range of policy solutions, and I'd encourage people to look at the organizations that are doing important organizing around this. Groups like the Private Equity Stakeholder Project, Americans for Financial Reform, United for Respect, and the American Economic Liberties Project, to name just four. You know, look them up online, and there's a lot of ways you can get involved.
Where can people go to learn more about your book and the things that you discuss in it? What's your website?
Plunderthebook.com, or just Google or use your favorite search engine to look up Plunder Private Equity's Plan to Pillage America.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.
In WCBE's podcast experience, Prognosis Ohio has comprehensive conversations on suicide prevention with Dr. Rosie Bowder and emergency preparedness with COTS. Learn more about the state's burn ban on protecting what matters. Pernod Ricard CEO Anne McCurgy joins Innovating Leadership, Co-Creating Our Future. City League Sports features Beechcroft Boys Track and Field. Double Take reviews Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Doug Dangler chats with singer-songwriter Daryl Scott on an extended edition of Craft. And Music Journeys has a pair of episodes featuring singer Shayna Steele and the band Late Cambrian. Learn more about all of WCBE's locally produced shows and the podcast experience at wcbe.org.